From Edge Radio 99.3 FM, this is an edit of The Dice Men Cometh, the podcast.
The Dice Men Cometh!
Well, speaking of certified bangers here on Edge Radio, I wouldn't call myself one of those. I definitely am a certified ranger.
Ooh!
But apart from that, look, I have to apologise, guys. I've dragged myself in here to the studios for episode 263.
You should apologise for doing that, Mark.
On Thursday the 30th of June, I've been off work again. I've injured my neck, don't know what doing. So I'm a bit hyped up on pain medication. So if I say something really funny, you'll notice it's just the usual me.
And I will make sure to turn the volume up of that on the podcast to exacerbate it even further.
But as we said, it's episode 263 on the 30th of June. I am Mark.
I'm Garth.
And I am Leon. And we can finally, after a few weeks or even a few months now, we can put to rest all these conspiracy theories that there is some sort of rift between me and Mark that we are turns out that Sarah and Sarah are in fact the same woman and we never realised. No, everything is tickety-boo. We've just had very conflicting schedules.
And holidays.
Indeed you do.
That is 100% true. So what are we talking about on tonight's episode? Well,
Oh my God.
The new Banana Man game.
I watched so many videos today to try and get my head around this. And look, let's just cut to the chase. I probably shouldn't have bothered.
Well, that's true.
And the game, of course, that we're talking about
is Batman
Gotham City Chronicles.
Gotham City Chronicles, and I'm Batman. And then all we're going to do is talk about that this time next week, will be no Dice Men Cometh.
Sorry.
Because we will be right now on the road to Albury and or Wodonga via some other town where we're spending the night.
Noopty noopty hoopty squints.
Correct. Because a week tomorrow, BorderCon 2019 starts. Mm. And if Mark does nothing else in the next 7 days except rest and recover and get his dice rolling arm ready, he will be there, maybe fit, maybe partially able-bodied.
Well, funny story.
Really?
I had to ring up my boss today and said, you may have noticed I'm not at work today. I've just come back from physiotherapy again, and I'm going to physiotherapy again tomorrow. I've been having daily physio on my neck, trying to just get it working again. Good news is I'll be back on Monday. I'm planning to try and work at least the full day for Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, but at least it's a short week. And he was like, what do you mean it's a short week? That's the next week. And I said, no, you remember we talked about those 2 days of leave I was taking because I was going to that board game convention. He's like, so you haven't been well and now you're coming back to work to have some time off. I said, but it's the lowest amount of movement you can imagine over 4 days. Like, I'll barely move out of a chair. And one, as long as one arm works so I can roll the dice, really, you know, I might be saying, Garth, can you just move my piece over there? It's super low impact.
We'll get you one of those retractable claws, I reckon. You can buy them at the reject shop that just go.
And also a straw for the booze as well. Yeah. I don't know if we can put pizza in straw, but we can figure that out too.
Ah, that's all right. They'll have a blender. We can mix it up for you. And on that deliciously chunky note, we are the Dice Men Cometh. It's Edge Radio 99.3 FM, episode 263. And we're going to come back with Batman after this song.
This is the Dice Wife, Sarah, and when I want to listen to a podcast that sounds like at least one of them is sexy, I listen to The Dice Men Cometh.
And there you go with a very retrospective language alert. You're with The Dice Men Cometh on Edge Radio 99.3 FM. That was Spithood by Glitterous.
Cluck you.
Exactly. They are very much an Australian band who have learned some naughty words. But where we're going, there are no naughty words.
Only naughty people.
Exactly. Because, Leon.
Hello.
You're going to talk about Batman.
Yes, I am going to talk about Batman. One of my favouritest things in all of the fictitious creative things in the world. So, this game was on Kickstarter a little over a year ago. It actually arrived pretty much nearly 13 months to the day it finished, which is pretty good. And it raised a little bit of money. It raised $4,403,000.
And that's US dollars?
US, I believe. Yep, US dollary dues.
Okay.
And that is with 19,303 backers, which I was somewhere in the first couple of hundred, I believe.
I reckon you were all over this like a rash.
Little bit anyway. But anyway, so it is by Monolith Games, and it is based off another game that they did with a similar, not a similar IP, but another IP, the Conan game. So the board game of that, they pretty much went, okay, that seemed to go pretty well. What other things can we use with that? And then somehow they managed to get their hands on the Batman license, which is the license of all licenses.
That's why they needed a few of those millions of dollars.
Yes, indeed. Well, and probably wasn't that hard to get those millions and millions of dollars, because I think I put in about a quarter of $1 million to back it. No, it was until Bloodborne recently the most expensive thing I've ever backed. And I'm looking here at the moment, the all-in pledge was $320 US. Ooh. So it added up at the time to round about 500-ish smackaroos in the Australian. And the shipping was actually not... The shipping was like $50 on top of it. So yeah, the shipping was completely reasonable considering it was... What was it, 6 boxes?
Yeah, it's about the size of a telephone box for our older listeners, yes, as a point of reference. For our younger listeners,
a TARDIS.
Okay.
Anywho, but the main game comes in 2 massive boxes. So even the main game doesn't come in the one box, which I think is kind of funny because, like, Trent recently got the Hellboy game from Kickstarter, and that's in one massive box. But Batman couldn't even do that. Nope, they split it into 2, which has some amazing art on the covers, so they can kind of do that if they please.
Absolutely. I actually was thinking that, having not seen the Batman game, but having seen Hellboy, looking at the photos, I think the Batman game may be 2 Hellboy boxes. That's how big it is.
It'd be close to it. It might not be that deep, but wide. Yeah. Like, it ain't fitting in that Kallax. Put it that way. Definitely not. It's got Pride of Place on top of it looking very schmick, but it ain't fitting in there.
And all of the boxes sort of line up very nice so that it gives you this panoramic view if you line the boxes up next to each other, don't they? So it is one of those Pride of Place pieces on your...
Yep.
A suitable game shelf, but yeah, make sure there's lots of vertical struts because it will sag your shelves.
And also, this is a thing that they have said a few times, that this is only available from Kickstarter. This is not a retail game. You will not see this in stores unless somebody has backed it on Kickstarter and decided to sell it in a store, which probably isn't legal, but that's not my place to say.
Oh, so basically what you're saying is anyone who didn't buy it last time, they've just completely missed out. Bad luck. It's just a one-off.
No, because in 5 days' time...
Oh, really?
Season 2 of Batman Gotham City Chronicles is coming up, and they've specifically said that it is brand new content for season 2. Like, already there's things like the Suicide Squad is added into it, which weren't in the original. Some more of the Talia al Ghul and Ra's al Ghul's type of people. I've forgotten their name. I'm losing my nerd cred because I'm so tired.
The League of Assassins,
that's the one. And they're in it. Plus...
Bat-Cow version 2?
Hopefully not, but either way.
Bat-Pig, maybe.
Possibly. But according to this, it also says all the content from season 1.
Of course. Yeah.
So you could happily pay probably $800 Australian if you want to get your hands on all of it. But trust me, a bit of a spoiler here, I will be one of the first backers on that on June the 4th.
And we're very glad you are, Lee.
This seems to be very much the new model, isn't it, of these games that really you're never going to get the same out of retail as you are out of Kickstarter.
Yep.
So how about just after it fulfills, just after the word starts to get on the street, just after those unboxing videos hit, let's give all the people who missed out a chance to buy it again, plus throw a whole bunch of new content. All these big games are doing that now.
It's definitely taking advantage of more carriages being added to the hype train.
Yeah. I believe, I could be mistaken, I think Seventh Continent was the first one to do it, because that's... The second season of that was on Kickstarter literally exactly a month after the first one, and then the second season was more successful than the first one was.
That's right.
So this new season...
I'm waiting, right at this moment, Aetherworks, I'm waiting for my tracking number because I still have not received that game.
Well, I was one of the few people that actually did get a tracking number for this game about a week in advance, and then it turned up a day before that it said it was going to, whereas on checking on the Facebook groups, I asked the question on one of the board game pages, to a lot of people, when have you got it? And a lot of people said, oh, just turned up on my step. Didn't hear a word, just turned up. And it has to be said that Aetherworks, they're a very, very, very busy company these days because everyone knows that they're reliable. But, for instance, I know somebody that's claimed on this Facebook page that they got this game about 5 weeks before I did.
Wow.
Which is not... And this was And there was another person on there that I think got it around the same time as me that said, I live 20 minutes from the Aetherworks warehouse.
Yeah, the distribution centre.
And they, someone apparently could have got it 5 weeks before that person. So that kind of...
All right, well, let's talk about what exactly is game, and how you play it and why you should, if you want to, go and jump on and back it in a week or so.
Yes. Now, we're only going to talk about the base game because we've got the... Well, I've got all the expansion stuff, but I haven't played with any of it yet. So I'll just quickly mention...
Not even the Batmobile. Have you played with the Batmobile?
Nope.
You haven't even got it out and driven... I mean, when I say played with it...
Oh, yeah, we've got
like,
it out.
Driven it out.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yes, we have done that.
It's got rubber tyres, I hear.
Yeah, it doesn't actually spin, though, so it doesn't actually move.
Really?
I know it's... I hate to break it to you, Mark, but the Batmobile is the one bit of kit out of all of it that if I didn't get, it wouldn't have bothered me. Now that I've seen it, it was like $60 for something that looks like something you could get in a toy store, sadly. But so, the base game itself. So, in the base game, what you're going to be doing is you're going to be taking on the roles of the heroes, funnily enough, Batman and his extended family of...
His Bat-Gang.
Bat-Gang. And you're going to be taking down all his rogues galleries who happen to be... the greatest rogues galleries in all of fiction, as far as I'm concerned, and I will hear no debate on this. There is two books that come with the base game. One of them is a rule book, which we'll talk about later. Another one is a mission booklet. And in the mission booklet, it is these giant two-page spreads would explain to you how a mission is going, how the board is going to be laid out, all the people that are going to be involved, who the bad guy is, the story behind it, all the different things. Like, for instance, the first scenario, which is the one that I think nearly everyone will start off with, you're going up against Bane, who has planted some bombs underneath City Hall and is going to set them off.
I planted some bombs under City Hall and I will set them all off.
Yes. I don't remember him having an accent as well as that. But yes, that
he
is one...
shoulder. That's okay.
That is one thing. So in this particular mission, the ones that we've played so far, we sent in Batman, we sent in Catwoman, and we sent in Red Hood.
Redwood,
who you refuse to say the proper name of all night. Now, there is one thing we need to mention straight away, that there is about, I think it's about 27 odd characters that, I got in the base game. Maybe that's including, the expansion characters. But you can't use them all in every single scenario. Each scenario only gives you a few options of actual characters you can use. Now, the designers have said, you can use anybody you want. It's your game, do whatever you please. But they said, we tested the nonsense out of it with these specific characters to give you a nice balanced game. So if you want to play the game as intended, you go through it that way, but you can have whatever characters you please and do what you want.
Yeah, and I really like that in the rule book. So, look, it must be said, it's a 1v-many game.
Yes.
So there are a maximum of 3 hero players, or one person, one human person, can take control of all 3.
Easily. Mm-hmm.
And then there is one bad overlord who's going to be controlling all of the evil forces, including the big bad of whatever that particular mission is. Mm. However, yes, as you say, Leon, in that first scenario, and I've only played scenario one and Leon's played that a couple of times, hero one has to be Batman or someone else.
Or Renee Montoya.
Whoever that is.
Okay.
And then hero two has to be Batgirl, no.
Catwoman or Bluebird.
And that's because there are a couple of different Catwomans and whatever a Bluebird is. And then the third one has to be Redwood or what?
Or Orphan or Nightwing.
See, they're just made up. No one even knows what they are. So anyway, I think that's really good because it allows you to play the same thing multiple times with different combinations of heroes because each of them are unique the abilities they have.
It also means that your first decision is not going to be for 3 hours sitting down going, okay, which version of Batman will I use? And then who am I going to put with him? Like, he's got all these people, and like that in itself could be a decision that could take hours and hours and hours.
Correct. Yes, certainly. It kind of flicks straight through to that.
Now, I guess potentially on the other side, you've got the people who want, but hang on, I want Jason Todd to team up with Nightwing and Spoiler, and I want them to go up against Clayface.
Yeah.
And you can do all of that. And that's the joy of what the designers have said, you can do that, but don't do it until you are comfortable with the game and the rule set.
I guess you can look and see if there's a scenario that has that, and then potentially I could see that as you get it to know more, you're going to get to know a bit about the balance. So, These guys, and which is why they're in the Batman slot, if you like, are much more powerful. These ones are much more a support character. So I wouldn't want to have three support characters, blah, blah, blah. You could fiddle with the balance a bit yourself.
You are absolutely correct in that, because I can tell you from the games that we have played, Catwoman was the one that was doing lots of disassembling of the bombs because of her characteristics. Batman was doing a lot of smacking in the face.
Yeah.
And Red Hood was... There's a minigun in the corner of the board that only Red Hood can pick up.
Yeah.
So guess what he was doing for most of the time.
Mm.
So, yeah. But also, you could take turns with being the bad guys as well.
Yes.
Because, so you play that. So then straight away, the first scenario, you can play multiple times just on that alone.
How do you play it, though, Leon?
Ah, glad you asked, Garth. So, on the character's turn, because there's the bad guy's turn and the good guy's turn, on the good guy's turn, you have these action cubes. There's little red cubes on your board. Everyone starts with slightly different numbers.
On your board or on your... Bat tablet.
It's a board, but yes, we can call it a bat tablet, because that's what they say. So you'll be using these action cubes to do various different things. You all have a certain amount of free movement that you can use, depending on what equipment you're carrying. Other than that, you have to use these cubes to do all the different kinds of actions. And there's one thing that this game does that a lot of games do not do, is that this game isn't played as in I go, then Mark goes, then Garth goes, and so on. You can go whoever you want, but also it could simply be Garth can do a move, Mark can do an action. Garth can do an action, then I can do an action. Yep. Then Mark can do a move. You can do any combination you please and spend as many of those cubes as you like, but keep in mind that the next time you have a round, you're not going to get all those cubes back. So it is very much a cube management type game or action point management type
Absolutely.
Game.
Absolutely. It is action selection, action resources, yes. really, because, yeah, you'll be spending cubes to move past your bonus movement. You'll be spending cubes to fight people by punching them in the face or by shooting them in the face
mm-hmm.
or by trying to manipulate something or by trying to have a thought about something or by trying to defend yourself or by trying to step somewhere or by trying to climb something or by trying to re-roll something because it didn't quite work the first time.
Yes.
You'll be using these cubes for almost every possible thing that you'll be doing.
And, then you've got that decision, haven't you, as I understand, I've just done so much research on this today, whether in the next turn you're going to be, can't remember the terms, active or passive, but basically one which is just, I'm taking a breath and that's going to give me most of my cubes back for the following turn.
Yep.
Or I'm going to do a normal turn, but I'm only going to get a couple of cubes back, which is going to really limit my options. Basically, am I going to skip a turn or am I not going to skip a turn? But that's then going to set me up for the following turn.
Yeah, active or resting. So you were very close. That is pretty much what you would decide. Like you said, you can go, okay, I'm going to have a turn, or I'm literally going to do nothing but sit here and kind of turtle.
Yeah.
Because on the bad guy's move, which I'll explain in a second, you can spend some of your cubes as well, because you can spend them on defending yourself. Because each character has a different die that they will roll for defense, because there are four different kinds of die in this. There, I think there's white, yellow, orange, red, and black. There's five.
Yeah.
And they all have different levels of successes on them for different actions that you will have. Like, for instance, Bane, the main bad guy, when he soups himself up and he's all venom injected and big and nasty, he rolls two black die, which are the biggest, nastiest die in the game.
Yeah.
Before that, he was only rolling, I think, orange when he was attacking. But when he soups up, he becomes big and rolls those black
die. Now, just to put that into perspective, most of the heroes will start with maybe a maximum of 10 or 11 red action cubes.
Yep. Yeah.
Now, you'll never die in this game, which is really great. There is no player elimination.
No.
As far as I'm aware, reading rules and reading bits and pieces and only having played the first scenario.
Yes.
So when you take damage, you will just have to remove some of your red cubes and put it in your wound section.
Yeah.
Look, you can get them back if certain stars align, but chances are you won't get many of them back during the course of the game. Now, when you've got, as a hero, maybe 10 or 11 cubes, when Bane rolls two black die, he can inflict 8...
Yep.
Damage, potentially.
And he also has a skill called martial arts, which gives you one extra on top of that. So he can do 9 with a good roll, which I did the other night to Catwoman.
Yes. And if you, being me, as a hero,
trying
to defend against that, either don't have cubes to spend to defend or roll really poorly and then have no defense, you're taking 9 of these cubes that you would otherwise be able to do actions with and stick them in the wounded pile, which then make them useless, that really is not so good.
Yes, it's very, very tactical and very thematic to the kind of the Batman universe as well, because every scenario can play it different depending on the heroes you have, how well they've gone against people. It just all makes sense.
And is there no, and I not having looked at it in terms of characters on either side, there are so many different abilities, it's crazy, but is there not a character or some characters that have as their ability the ability to, like, heal people and move cubes across? Does that, have you come across that?
Nope, not yet. Wow. And there's none that I know of. But there are med packs, and there, I think there are characters that can use med packs. Okay. So that being said, yeah. I'm probably completely wrong. If we use, say, Renee Montoya, that might be her thing. Okay, instead of Batman yeah. doing lots of punching, maybe she's a healer.
But I guess that makes sense in terms of what a lot of people seem to be saying about this is these scenarios, they're not designed to go on and on and on and on. They're really only designed to, maybe you're going to have...
Well, it's around
eight turns.
It's a round-based system. In the first game, it is seven rounds. Yeah, so it's going to end at seven rounds. Some of the other scenarios, again, I haven't even looked at them yet because I don't want to look at them when I start playing them. Because in the base game alone, just the base game, 23 scenarios. Jeez. However...
And... Two double-sided boards in the base game.
And then in the expansions, there is each has a double-sided board, and they add about seven or eight missions into all of them as well. So there's probably about 40 missions altogether if you add them all. But the thing is, in the base game, one thing which I don't know if it's a positive or a negative, there are nine missions that are four-player. There are seven that are two-player and seven that are three-player. So you can do lots of different stuff. However, I will always play this as a four-player game.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe a three-player game, sure. And again, some people might play it as a two-player game. So that's why I'm up in the end if it's a positive or a negative. Personally, I'd like them all to be four-player scenarios and then they could somehow scale it back. But that's just not the way they tested it. They try to do it, you know, to kind of please every number of players. So that's completely fine.
I would be very surprised if BGG people don't start putting out little individually made sessions. But there's also, and I know we're sort of skipping all over the place here, there's already, there's an official two-player version.
Yes.
Which is not an actual scenario. It's a one-shot.
No, they are scenarios.
Oh, they are?
There's like seven scenarios, and it's good guys versus bad guys. Sadly, there isn't one that's like six complete good guys versus six complete bad guys because everyone has to take their minions and stuff with them to kind of fill the board out.
Yeah.
But you can, say, have Batman and Robin and a bunch of police and SWAT guys versus Joker and Harley and a bunch of their goons 1v1, and there's, like I said, there's seven scenarios where some of them you're attacking, some you're defending, some is a race against the clock. Some of them probably are just all-out gang warfare.
There better not be an escort mission.
If we look back at so many, not necessarily Batman games, but superhero games, take Legendary as an example.
Yep.
What have they done, you know, one or two expansions in? Flipped it all on its head where all of a sudden you're playing as the bad guy against a load of good guys. Hey, there's a new Kickstarter coming. They could totally do that, couldn't they? They could give you...
They have already done it.
Oh, there you go.
Because there's a little mini expansion that you get with this game, which is a little mini campaign, which I believe is four missions long, where you play, I believe... I haven't read it because I don't want to touch it until I start playing it, where you play as the bad guys.
Well, you haven't even told us how do the bad guys work. What's the,
exactly. So the bad guys. So the bad guys have a giant kind of player board, and they don't have individual characters with individual cubes. They just have one big old massive pool. And they have this group of cards which is called the River. And on the River you have six cards that represent the different bad guys you have on the field.
Mm-hmm.
So in example, in the first scenario, one of them is Bane, the big bad leading it all, and then the other five are, say, Brute with Shotgun, and that card represents the four Brutes with Shotguns you have. One of them is the Court of Owls minis, which are helping Bane in this scenario.
Yeah.
Another one's a Pistol Thug and that kind of stuff. There's also another card on there which is an event tile, which would be used in every single scenario, because in every single scenario, it is slightly different. In this scenario, when you activate it, that is when you can A, get out reinforcements, which would be in most scenarios, but you can Venom inject Bane and make him big and bad. And also, that tile then becomes a Bane card as well, so Bane can activate twice in your River of Seven cards. And the way it works is that you will choose the cubes based on the river that you have. That's 1 to 7 on the river. You'll pay that many cubes for what card you want to activate. So say I activate the guy down the first one, cost me one cube to activate four minis. That's great. Yeah. But then they move down to the end of the board.
Yeah.
So the good guys will know, okay, he's probably not going to activate them again because they're really expensive now. But if he desperately needs to do this, he has to do it, which means let's try to beat him up, whittle his cubes down that he would use for defense so he can't use them again. So, again, this amount of tactics and strategy with this is amazing. And, again, Bane starts at the end, but he slowly starts moving down and then people start going, whoa. Like I think when we played the other night, I activated Bane for, like, 2 points and then he caused a bit of trouble.
Yes.
And then it kind of went from there. And it's the same thing that you use that pool of cubes, you use that for the extra movement you want to do with the bad guys, who are much simpler, that they can pretty much move, do an action, and then move again if you want to pay extra for them. So they're a lot simpler to do than the good guys. And then it kind of pretty much goes from there.
So you're saying as the good player, you could look and see, okay, who's coming up in the river?
Yep.
I want to target the guys that are going to put me in danger or the guys that are going to activate bombs or whatever.
Yep.
But if I, in fact, target those guys who are in maybe spot 1, 2, and 3,
yep,
and I, so if I wipe them all out,
yes,
then, actually, I'm not sure. Do those cards then move down the end?
If you wipe them all out, if you wipe every miniature off the board of one specific gang or group, their card flips over, it moves to the end, and that is known as neutralised.
Okay.
You can't bring them in as reinforcements, they are out. However, they stay in the bad guy's river. So they're a card there that's just annoyance, essentially, for them.
Space.
But you can pay 2 cubes, which go permanently out of the game, to get rid of one of those neutralised cards.
Okay.
You can also, at once during any game, you can pay 2 cubes to remove all the minis of a certain group off the board and that card completely out of the river. So if you go, these guys are useless to me on the board and in my river, you can get them out of there completely, but it is a hell of a cost.
But as the good player, you could say, oh, I can see Thug with broken nose and 4 fingers on left hand.
Yeah.
He's a group of 4. He's coming up soon.
Yep.
I'll kill 3 of them.
Exactly.
Well, yes.
And then there's one left, which means it's going to cost you more cubes to be more effective.
Correct.
There's that sort of strategic thinking.
There's dice involved.
Yeah.
So you can have the best laid plans and dice will then be your friend or your enemy. Yes. So it combines a couple of well-known sort of mechanics. So you roll dice to have successes or failures and you're doing that against a whole bunch of different aspects, whether it be manipulation, thoughts, blah, 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 blah.
And that whole grey thing, the bad tablet, if you like, that looks really fancy. And I was actually quite disappointed because when they were talking about how you have the bat tablet and the bit slots in, I was thinking, like, maybe it's going to be like an actual iPad-y thing and it's going to have lights and stuff, but it's all plastic and colour.
Wow, no, it's just a bit of cardboard. Some
pretty good medicinal drugs. Anyway, Leon, let's switch this around to what we think about it. Because you and I have played it.
Yep.
You played it a couple of times. I played it once. Mark's just watching other reviewers.
Well, we will do probably another full playthrough and talk about this at some points when we've played more of it, especially after Mark has played it. I will get the negative out of the way first. And this is the thing that's kind of been common knowledge for anybody that knows anything about this game. The rulebook is not good.
Yeah.
The rulebook is good for references, but actually learning the game, it is not good. And there are certain things that are kind of not even really in it. Like, for instance, in the base scenario, there is a stun grenade on the main board. I had to turn to about 4 different pages to figure out what this stun grenade did. And even still then, I'm not 100. We did kind of guesstimate some of it. It does something that's, in this day and age, are 2 absolute crimes of board gaming. One is that there's no player aid for the actions. Again, this rule book has all this reference stuff, but there's no player aid. But 2, all the actions in this game, the special abilities, I should say, which are on a lot of things, a lot of cards, a lot of boards, a lot of everything, they don't have text, they're just symbols.
Yeah.
So this game is, like, the movement is, I wouldn't say complicated, but it's a lot to remember. A lot of the actions in this game, there are a lot to remember. And because I said the rule book is not the easiest to learn from, it is kind of, like, the day when we first played it, I must admit, the first game we played, we definitely did a few things wrong. We did most of it right, but a few things wrong. But I spent about 2 hours reading the book from cover to cover, watched a few videos, and still I had to print out from BGG, which is one thing that nearly every forum on BGG that talks about this game says, you've got to print out these player aids for each person that gives them exactly their abilities for their character and tells you what they do, because you're not flicking through one rule book between 4 people. So that is, in this day and age, and for a game that's got this kind of IP from this kind of company that costs this much money, it's just out of order. It's not right.
I agree. You look at the player boards and you get your bat pad or whatever you're calling it.
Yep.
And you look at your bat character or your cat character or your whatever character.
Yeah.
They have maybe 10 to 15 different icons on there.
Yep.
It's a busy
board.
Just to use
movement as an example, there's a boot.
Yeah.
There's a boot with a spring underneath it. There's a boot with some spiky things underneath it.
Uh-huh.
And maybe a boot with wings.
Yep.
All of those things are normal movement, parkour, mobility, elusiveness. But you don't know what they mean unless you've got a player aid, which is not there.
Which I do have in front of me that I printed out. There are 7 different boot things, Garth.
There you go, 7. So look, go and download. and print off in the highest possible resolution you can those player aids.
Yep.
The thing that makes those player aids indispensable is that there are, 30-odd different heroes.
Yep.
And all of their abilities are a little bit different.
Yep.
So the benefit you get for Batman's parkour is different to Catwoman's parkour, is different to Nightwing's parkour, is different, yep, to someone else's. So it's critical that you have those things. Otherwise, the entry level to understanding this is too high.
Yeah. And there are certain items that are only specific to each character as well as a lot of the characters in this that are known as like Bat heroes, essentially. They get gadgets as well, things like Batarangs and stuff like that. So that's another thing that we didn't mention. But the game itself, it is good. I very much enjoyed it. I wouldn't go as far and say that I'm over the moon, this is the greatest game ever, but it's one of those games that I think a few more times that I play it now that I know the rules and I've got them in my head, I could teach this right now, I'm going to enjoy it a lot more. And based off that content that's there, and as we've mentioned many times, this, just the strategy and the replayability is through the roof, but also the two games that we played of this so far, they have done very well with the playtesting and the balancing, because both times it came down to the absolute wire. We're talking last turn, last die rolls, and that's how well it was balanced.
Yep.
So if they've done that on this scenario, I'd like to hope, again, we're basing this on one scenario out of 40, but I hope they would have done it with all of them. And, so the potential for this game, I think, is through the roof.
Well, the thing is, this is, as we said, I'm sure we said right at the start, this is the re-implementation of the Conan system from Monolith. So it's not like they've got a brand new system and started from scratch. They've got a lot of history there. So I guess they've had a lot of a chance to get that system itself right. It's almost like they need some sort of an app which says, this is the scenario we're playing, this is the characters, so that we could then all have our own little app that said, oh, these are my special abilities.
No, I think player aids are all you need. Because there are...
Wouldn't you need like 500 of them?
No, because the symbols are the same. Yeah. It's just the benefit of you get. Okay. So, you know, Batman's parkour, which is basically his ability to climb up and down things, it's parkour ability, you get a bonus of 2 movement, whereas Catwoman's is 3. So the fundamental benefit you get is the same. It's just to what degree of bonus you get. And on that earth-shattering bombshell, I really enjoyed it too.
Good.
And we played it in a learning game in 2 hours.
Yes.
Rules explanation
That's
and playing.
Good.
Leon and his lovely wife had played it, but had been equal bad people working together. Myself and Beau hadn't seen it before. So 2 hours for this kind of game. Mechanically, it's very simple with a few fiddly bits like movement, like just understanding your movement, your cube selection. And that'll be ironed out as you play it again. So on that note, now we're going to go to a song and talk about Bordercon. So, Dustman Cometh here. It's Ed Radio 99.3. Sit down, strap in. After the break, we're going to Bordercon. But here's a song.
I'm Matthew Lee from The Campaigner, and I listen to the world's best podcast. And I also listen to The Dice Man Cometh.
That was the song Cookie. I'd murder a cookie right now. I'm so tired. by Naomi Punk here on Edge Radio 99.3 FM with The Dice Men Cometh. So that was our talk about Batman, which we will definitely do again.
Is there a Batman character called Cookie?
Probably.
Bat Cookie.
Okay. And look, I just wanted to throw in, even though I haven't played it, after watching all those videos today, I actually am excited to play it. Now, normally with these mini-fests, I would be ho-hum, but given how you've described it and given what I've seen, I think there's enough of a game there that I certainly want to give it a crack, that's for sure. Yes. And with the new Kickstarter coming up, obviously that's what people need to know is, look, you could go in at a very base level. I think we were saying in the break, it's what, $130, $140 US?
So probably about $200, but you're going to get a lot for that $200.
Yeah, and, you know, look, I was just comparing today. I haven't talked about this game yet. I will soon. I've fallen in love with Ignacy Trevicek's Detective, a modern crime board game, and Sarah and I have played 2 of the 5 scenarios now. That game, I had to wait till I picked up a second-hand copy because that game retails for about $90 to $100. That game comes with 1 campaign of 5 scenarios. They've just released, or they're about to release a second expansion, which has 1 campaign of 3 scenarios. You know, so, value for money. And
not many minis either.
No, there is no minis. You know, I guess it's relative how you measure your value for money.
If you're
games,
a Bat fan,
sure.
Get Batman. It's really that simple because the game is good enough to justify it as long as you play it over and over again.
Yeah.
And if you're a Bat fan person, you will have friends who are Bat people as well, and you'll be able to sit around the table and play scenario.
Speaking of having a Bat fan having no friends, is there some sort of a solo mode?
There would have to be. Actually, I've seen BGG stuff about it. I don't know if there's an official one.
Okay.
But I haven't looked into all of it yet.
Cool.
Because there's a lot of it.
All right. Hey, let's go to BorderCon.
Yes. Well, we will be this time next week, which is... For those of you who have been living under a border rock, BorderCon is arguably four of the funnest Dice Man board game days of the year, which is held in Albury over the Queen's Birthday long weekend. And this week, and this year, sorry, it is from the 7th to the 10th. Gaming will start very much on Friday and go through to the end of the Monday.
Oh, yes.
And hopefully the Dice Man will be there for almost every waking and sleep foregoing minute.
We will be the last man standing one of the nights. We just don't know which one yet.
Yeah, well, hopefully a couple of them.
Yeah. But all those women who are still standing, they're just going to be laughing at us.
Yes,
we'll be there. We'll be doing our lot. So, look, really, every year we go there, every year we have a great time. Mark, it's probably your 50th one. I've been there for a few, and Leon, you're now becoming more established.
Four, I think this is?
I think this is going to be...
Six?
Eight, maybe. Eight? Seven or eight.
That's ridiculous.
I think I did three before you came along.
Wow.
Yeah.
Crazy talk.
Yeah. So, anyway, it's a little 200-ish person... board game convention that's held in the Hoveltree Inn, which sounds worse than it is because it's a lovely little hotel.
Did you see some tickets magically appeared right at the last minute?
I did. There were 10 of those. I don't know if they lasted long or if they've gone, but I hope they're all gone because a sellout is always what we want. Yeah. So, look, I just wanted to have a bit of a chat about this, about what we are all excited about and what we want to play and what we're looking forward to, because we spend the next couple of weeks or months after this talking about all the games we played and all the people we met and all the fun we had. But let's put our dice credentials to some test and set some challenges that we want to have, okay? How does that sound?
Sounds lovely.
So let's start with some simple getting the juices flowing.
Yep.
Leon and Mark, what games are you looking forward to playing?
I have a very long and distinguished list, Garth.
Yeah, well, it's not the size that counts, but let's go.
Now, firstly... of course, as soon as the awards that I wasn't on the show to discuss were announced, we need to play, and BorderCon has traditionally always been a great spot for us to play the Spiel des Jahres and the Kenner Spiel des Jahres games that we haven't played.
Correct.
So, of course, as I just mentioned, I've played Detective, but of course you haven't, and I will get it set up so you guys can play it. We have not played Wingspan, but we've actually already queued up on the Saturday morning, I think, to play Wingspan with some friends of ours at BorderCon. And so, obviously, to tick the third box, I have to seize the day and play Carpe Diem sometime. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely. We've got to tick those three Kenners off the list. And you've played two. Well, you've played one. I've played zero. But no doubt over the next couple of days.
And likewise, firstly, I have to understand, apart from a furry South American animal, what a llama, L-A-M-A, actually is, because I believe it's, again, it's one of these games that's just been released in Germany alone.
Yeah, it's a Reiner Knizia game, so, you know, there's certainly going to be some maths involved, but it looks, from reading and watching, quite simple. But no doubt, getting some Kenner games out there, there will be a bit of Wingspan, there'll be a bit of Detective, there'll be some Carpe Diem, and then for the younger... or the more basic games, and to that I speak about Leon, of course.
Hello.
Werewords, just one. No doubt the first game you want to play is Llama, just so you can basically say how bad it is.
Yep.
And that how you're right about Werewords and just one.
Yep, you're very much right about it.
Now, the other one I'll mention before I let you guys mention some, I think this is maybe the first time I'm ever cheating. In that,
I'm not sure about that.
I've got this game that I got from Kickstarter or however you purchased this particular game, which is Brass Birmingham, big heavy Euro, beautiful new version, and you guys have been wanting me to teach it for
ever
the better part of well, it's got to be more than 6 months, 9 months, maybe a year, and I have been so scarred by some of my board game teaching experiences that I have made excuses why I wouldn't do it. So I actually sought out very good friend of the Dice Men, Rachel, who is so good at explaining games, and said, "Hey, Rachel, do you know this brassy Birmingham game? And do you like it? And how would you like to teach it to me?" She said, yeah, it's not too bad. I played a couple of games. It takes a little bit of getting used to it. I don't have a copy. And I said, oh, that's okay. I'll bring my own copy. It's never been used.
Which is why we're proud to say that Mark's leaving the show and we're being replaced by Rachel. Is that right? No? Oh,
sorry to interrupt, but I just wanted to mention, over the years, I think I've played probably more than 100 games with you, Mark, by this point, I reckon.
Yes.
I generally don't think you've ever taught me how to play a game.
Oh, I don't know about that.
I'm trying to think what...
He may not have officially, but oh, well, yes. My God, the amount of butting in he will do.
He's taught me how to play every turn I've ever had ever. That's beside the point.
All right.
Crazy.
So, look, I mean, all of the questions I've got around the games essentially boil down to a couple of key questions.
Yeah.
The first one, which is always something that fills up the car on the drive back to the airport.
Yep.
First thing is, what's going to be the game that's on the most tables?
It's going to be Wingspan.
It's got to be Wingspan.
Yeah.
However, I'm throwing in a little bit of Root Love here because I think Root's had enough time for people to play it.
Yep.
And having played it now a couple of times, it's certainly not complicated. And I'm sort of generalizing here, but to a large extent, the bulk of people who are turning up at BorderCon are your more traditional gamers who have played a lot of games.
Yes.
They're not so typically fair-weather gamers who will come in and play a Catan and something that's sort of more gateway.
Yep.
They're typically more regular gamers, so it's not an off-putting game like this asymmetrical nature of it. So, yes, I think that Wingspan will probably be the game that's on most tables. It's just whether or not enough people have got enough copies.
Yeah. That is going to be interesting.
Mm. So, look, that's one. Any other contenders do you reckon for most easily visible game if you were to take a snapshot from a corner?
Well, by visible, I mean there's got to be a couple of copies of Fireball Island kicking around, sure.
Yeah.
I reckon once that game gets set up somewhere in the middle of the con, that'll probably just stay set up.
Mm-hmm.
Just because, I mean, I want to have a crack at it. It'll probably be rubbish, but I would still happily play it.
I think this could be the year that Gen Con runs out of pencils.
Okay.
Because I feel like every second table will be rolling and writing.
Okay.
There's just so many of them now, and they have been popular.
So bring your pencil sharpener to BorderCon.
Still waiting for my copy of Welcome to turn up. But, yeah, there's going to be so much rolling and so much writing.
All right. Well,
and then I was going to say the other thing is what some of these newly released games that maybe, as we were talking about before with Leon, you know, some people have got their copy while others are still waiting. One that popped into my head today, Garth, Escape Plan.
Oh, okay, yeah.
So, because I think I saw on the Aetherworks page
they sent out most of the first wave. I haven't received mine.
Okay.
However, good friend of the show, about an hour and a half ago, Richard, posted, and I quote, "my first and only Vital Lacerda game." So,
okay, Richard, I know he did post at one stage to say, look, I don't know if I'm going to be playing many games this year, but if I, you know, if you want me to bring something, bring it. Richard, if you're listening, let's face it, I know you are, bring Escape Plan, please.
No, don't. If you don't want to bring it, it's absolutely fine. There will be copies there.
Yes. You reckon?
Yes, there will be. Okay. So I want to play that, but I've got a copy waiting, so waiting at some point in my house. So that's not going to be super high on my list. For me, I reckon there could be quite a lot of Chronicles of Crime out there.
Oh, yes, yes.
That is a game that seemingly it's been certainly heavily supported and lots and lots and lots of little expansions have come out. I would also like to see a fair amount of Lord of the Rings Journey to Middle-earth there.
Yes, yes, good point.
Yeah, so that would look wonderful. Obviously, the IP of Lord of the Rings would be spectacular. I was speaking to Neil, you know, Polymorph Games and whatever his podcast is, Name escapes me now.
Five old guys sit around a microphone.
Yeah, not like us three young.
Have you been on yet, Mark?
I'm not old enough, apparently.
Oh, right.
But he's been having a wonderful, wonderful
Hello,
time.
Hello, Neil.
Wonderful, wonderful time with Journey in Middle-earth, the Lord of the Rings dungeon crawl. So I'm really looking forward to that. However, I still reckon there's a fair amount of love for Terraforming Mars with all the expansions that have come out.
Yes.
And just the fact that more people have blinged it out and got their player boards and all of that kind of stuff. However, there's also the Teotihuacan City of Gods, which, again, it sort of came out. A lot of people really liked it at Essen, probably had a fair few copies going at CanCon, and this is the next big one. And
it's on my list.
Certainly a list of games.
I know you had played it at Essen Unplugged, and that... Is it Trent has a copy?
No.
But hasn't come out of the box?
No. Nope.
Okay. I'm
no,
sure
I don't think there's a copy in Tasmania.
So, so I've been waiting to play that, certainly. And, you know, it's been spoken very highly. So that one is on my list. There's a couple of others on my list. Our good friends at Plaid Hat, where, you know, we were so excited about Gen 7 and then the blurb came out or the reviews came out and it went down the toilet, so to speak. I'd still love to have a crack at it.
I saw a copy of that the other day for like $50 and I still went, nah.
And likewise, Comanauts. Fabled for adults. Mm. If that one's there, I really want to give that a try.
All right, well, that leaves me to my second question is, what's the one game that there might be like one copy but it's never going to leave rotation? So trying to get a seat at a table where this game is on... What do you reckon that game's going to be?
A game that I would really like to play, and I'm hoping there's at least one copy there, is Western Legends.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, on my list.
Yep, which is a game that finally a cowboy game, kind of sandboxy game that people would enjoy. I'd like to think, because I know some people have got their Kickstarter backed, I'd hopefully like to see that somewhere.
Yeah, okay.
The Paladins of the West Kingdoms, is that... out yet, the second
well,
one?
I haven't got mine yet.
No,
I know
I don't think it is, but Architects certainly is.
Architects will be on a few fish tables.
Yeah, no, I was wondering whether if there was one copy of Paladins, because I've heard so many good things about Architects, that would be there. I know, again, you've played The Estates. Mm-hmm. I would really like to give that a crack. I know, Container. There's, the new, the 10th edition that's fantastic. To me, that's the sort of game maybe that there might be one copy of and you might really have to line up to get a crack at it, which I'd really like to do.
Yeah, all right. Well, now we've only got a few minutes left, so the big questions, okay? First one, what's going to be the dud? What's going to be the game that you walk in...
What's going to be the Altiplano?
Exactly. And you go, I'm so excited to play this, and it just goes...
That's a very good question.
Let me just refresh your memories.
Yeah.
And all I'm going to say are Spiel and Dice Tower Award nominees.
Yeah.
Okay. Llama, Werewords, Just One. Carpe Diem, Detective Wingspan. Chronicles of Crime, Underwater Cities, Brass Birmingham, Western Legend, Architects, Rising Sun, Everdell, The Mind, Coimbra, and Detective. So I've just put those in there, and I'll put a couple in there as well that I think. I'm going to immediately remove The Mind just because we never need to play that again. We played it at last year's BorderCon.
Yep.
You are clearly a big fan of Detective, so I'm going to remove that from the dud list.
Yep.
I'm going to remove Rising Sun from the dud list. I'm going to remove Just One and Werewords.
Yeah.
So it's really games that we haven't played out of these. So Llama, Carpe Diem, Underwater Cities, Brass Birmingham, Western Legends, Architects. What do you reckon?
Well, Architects, I've played. Architects is good. It's definitely not that.
Yep.
Carpe Diem, I've got to assume if that's going to be a copy there, it's going to be like one or two.
Mm-hmm.
So that could be fine, or it could just be kind of a blandish Euro.
Could it be this year's Heaven and Ale, Mark, for you?
Yeah, well, I was actually thinking exactly I noticed generally we've been getting more and more into more story-based game, more thematic games, and... You know, you just got to look, did we ever discuss it? Our Coimbra that so many people were excited about and we were so ho-hum about. Mm. Carpe Diem could be it for me as well. That's my suspicion.
Yeah, I think you could be right.
Yeah?
I think you could be right. So we'll see.
Well, it is a game until a week ago none of us had heard of or knew anything about.
Yeah, hey, super quickly though, one we've never got to... which I'm still hearing good things about, just not a lot of copies around, Sidereal Confluence.
Yeah. Well, I tried to arrange a game of that last year with Phoebe, and I put the name on the list on the whiteboard and said, I'm interested, spoke to Phoebe, can you teach it? Yes, I can.
We ended up playing Quacks, didn't we?
Well, it ended up going from Phoebe and a couple of us playing it to nine people wanting in. That was just a bit too much. So I would love to give that a go because it sounds like me in a game. But we need someone to teach it, and we don't need nine people.
I would also like to, if there's a copy there, play Arkham Horror 3rd Edition because I don't want to buy it.
Ooh.
Because Mansion of Madness, I know lots of people would have it, and I've got all the Eldritch Horror stuff, but I'd like to try the 3rd Edition of Arkham Horror, and I'd like that to be possibly like my Sunday big spend 5 or 6 hours playing a game.
Okay.
But if it's there, who knows?
I would like to try Ra, preferably the newer version, because I know it's been around for so many years. But a lot of people say a lot of good things about it. The other thing that I'm really looking forward to, this is the mystery box of Renee's games, where our great friend Renee from Canberra always pulls these games out of his butt somewhere that we've, most cases we've never even heard of, and they're crackers.
Yeah, so
every year he does it.
And there'll be a game that's suitable for 10 o'clock in the morning.
Yep.
And a game that's suitable for 2 o'clock in the morning. And a game that's suitable for evening. And yes, he is a master at bringing out obscure games that are then so much fun.
And also remember the Luchador Wrestling Dice game, which there is going to be a tag team championship this year. Last 2 years, we've had a steel cage fatal four-way for the title. This year is going to be a tag team. I believe it is me and Renee versus the Queenslanders.
There we go.
Yes.
So look, the last one is what's going to be the... What game do you really think is going to live up to expectations? Come on. Ooh. You guys watch reviews, you read things.
Well,
you are board gaming experts.
I haven't played Root yet, so I'm hoping to play that, and I think I will probably really like it.
Okay.
I think Wingspan won't live up to my expectations, which are very high. I think Brass Birmingham, I'm going to come away going, what have I been doing with that sitting on my cupboard for 9 months when it's such a good game?
I think we'll come away thinking that as well, Mark.
Yes, even if it's not very good, we'll still come away thinking that.
But the thing that I think we're all looking forward to most of all is spending time with our friends.
Oh, yeah.
And spending all that time around a table, having a great time whether we win, we lose, or anything in between. Because this convention, like all good conventions, should be just about a whole room full of people having a wonderful time, sharing a love for a hobby that we are passionate about.
Well, already on the Friday night, we're about 12 of us are going out for a curry. I think I'm looking forward to that more than nearly anything. So that's going to be a belter.
And look, I think what I'll try and do, what I usually try and do, is throw up some photos reasonably quickly on Instagram at Dice Men Cometh, also on our Facebook page, which is just Dice Men Cometh, so you can see the fun we're having as we have it, some fun little videos, because we always just have such a good time.
Yeah, we better get the...
I'm feeling better already.
Good. We need to get everything charged. We will try and do some little time-lapse things. We'll do a bit of everything there. But we better get out of there, being here, and go and play some games and then start packing, because there will be no show next week.
No.
The Dice Men will be en route to BorderCon. So everyone who will be there, please come and say hi. I'm very much looking forward to meeting our BorderCon competition winner, Chris, and playing Tragedy Looper.
Yeah.
That has been a game
totally
we've been really interested in. So, Chris, come and say hi to us as quickly as you can when you get there on whatever day you are. But we'll be back in 2 weeks.
Hey, guys, it's been really good to see you again.
It's a bit different, isn't it, all three of us here?
Yeah, all right. So in 2 weeks' time, we will all sound and feel like Mark, because we will have just spent the 4 days of Ultimate Board Gaming. Yeah. But on that lovely note, it's episode 263 done. The Dice Men Cometh are out of here, and we won't see you next week, but it will be two weeks.
See you at BorderCon.
Bye.
Bye.
Toodles.
This has been an edit of the Dice Men Cometh from Edge Radio 99.3 FM, Hobart's independent youth station. Find us on Facebook and edgeradio.org.au.